A large percent of Americans, even on both sides of the aisles, do feel that at this time, America is heading in the wrong direction. How do we turn this around? Or is it too late? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a very distinguished guest. He is the Honorable Alan West. At one point, I had the privilege of actually being a resident in Florida, which I've lived here for many, many years, and Alan West was my congressman for a while. Best congressman I ever had. Alan, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Dr. Newcomb. And you also forgot to mention we were distance running buddies for a while.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I would often do these half marathons. Mm-hmm. And if I use the word run, I would put that in scare quotes, run. But I would see you carrying an American flag for 13.1 miles. That was amazing. Or 5 miles, you know, with the local run. That was amazing. And you're with the American Constitution Rights Union.com. What is that?
Yes, the American Constitution Rights Union is .org, not .com, but it was founded about 23 years ago, and it was meant to be the counterbalance to the ACLU. And the original founders were Robert Carlson out of the Reagan administration, and also Attorney General Edwin Meese. He was a founding board member, and he is still on the board for the American Constitutional Rights Union. And so what we try to do is just make sure that we are protecting the individual and their constitutional rights according to that incredible document, and not allowing the progressive socialist left to turn everything into their ideological agenda, being the definition for rights and freedoms in this country.
And just to clarify, after the word constitution, there is the AL, so it's constitutionalrights.union.org.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's talk about it. We're seeing on full display, are we not, the socialist agenda trying to be implemented in America. Many portions of it already have been, and it's not really working out that great, is it?
No, it's not working out that great. And, you know, one of the things that I always try to put the juxtaposition in there is that America is about individual rights, freedoms, liberties, about respecting them, our natural rights that come from the Creator God. And Thomas Jefferson referred to them as the laws of nature and nature's God in the Declaration of Independence. And we're sovereign as individuals because those rights come from a sovereign God. So that means that the individual is sovereign and supreme over the institution of government, and government exists only by the consent of the governed. But what we see now, Dr. Jerry, is that the government believes that it is supreme and sovereign over the individual. And that's why you see all of these edicts, orders, mandates, and rules that they are passing down, by which they, I'd say, they try to rule over us instead of govern us. And the other thing that I try to get people to understand is that America is about the equality of opportunity. And that's why you have your rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. But what the left believes in is an equality of outcomes. And that's why you've heard this word equity be tossed around so much now.
Hmm. And what do they mean by that?
What they mean by equity is to make everyone equal. And that's why I'm saying the equality of outcomes. They believe the government can shape people to have those predetermined and equity in outcomes. And so when you really think about it, that's the socialist economic model. That's the socialist mentality. And it originally starts as an economic model whereby you institute that collectivization of the people. And then it leads to the societal model, which is, of course, communism. And they have never been really successful anywhere in the world.
So equality of opportunity is what we should definitely strive for. Equality,
yes,
of outcome, that's not only impossible, but isn't it even true that in communist countries, frankly, those that are, you know, ruling the society, they are vastly rewarded financially.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, for example, a local TV station here in South Florida, Channel 7, you probably remember them. I remember they had a little program or a little segment where they were showing how the Castro brothers would have these incredibly lavish parties. And meanwhile, the people are starving in Cuba. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's the have and have nots. And in the Soviet Union, they used to have what is called the Politburo. And that was the grouping of all the elites. And that's the exact same thing that you see happening here in America with the academic elites, the political elites, the entertainment elites. Those are all the people that are above the cut line, and they form that new Politburo. But what you just mentioned, look at what happened in Venezuela. Venezuela was once one of the most prosperous nations in our Western Hemisphere. And when Hugo Chavez comes along and starts with all that socialist mantra and ideology, and the people fell for it, he took what was once, you know, that incredibly prosperous nation that had more oil and gas reserves than even Saudi Arabia. And now you have people down there that are eating out of garbage cans, and you see that large expatriate community of Venezuelans that live down there in South Florida in the little town called Western Florida. But yet Nicolas Maduro and also Hugo Chavez, they live pretty nice as opposed to the people that were below the cut line.
Comment on the borders issue.
It's horrific. You know, I've been down to the border about 10 or so times. And what you see happening, first of all, it's unconstitutional, Dr. Newcomb, in that Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution is called the Guarantee Clause. And there are two things that the federal government is supposed to guarantee to every state in the union. Number one, a Republican form of government, not Republican Party, a Republican form of government, because America is a constitutional republic. And the second thing is to protect every state in the union from invasion. But when you have, you know, two and a half, almost 3 million people in the last year that came across our borders into the United States of America illegally, it's creating a horrific situation. The drug trafficking crisis that we have, fentanyl is the number one killer of Americans 18 to 45. It's produced over there in China. They ship it over to Mexico, where the transnational narco-criminal terrorists that we call the cartels, they manufacture it, they refine it, and then it's pushed across the border. Texas, the state in which I live in now, is the number one state in America for human and sex trafficking. The top two cities in the country for sex trafficking are Houston and Dallas, and I live about 15 miles outside of downtown Dallas. So we have to do something about this border. People are in our border communities and counties here in the state of Texas are living in terror when the sun goes down.
How about a biblical perspective on the borders? You know, when I've mentioned to some friends, you know, well, why are you concerned about the borders? You know, you're just, this is like a Fox News commentary as opposed to, you know, well, a biblical critique of the open borders policy.
Well, I will tell you this. If you go to Genesis, even God laid down the borders for Israel. And so God respects borders and boundaries and things of this nature. And, you know, government is supposed to protect people within those borders and boundaries. That's their number one duty and responsibility. So that's the biblical perspective on protecting us as sovereign nation states. But without a doubt, we see a government here that is violating the Constitution. And so if we're not going to follow the rule of law, then what are we supposed to base this constitutional republic on? America is not just a piece of land in between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans and Canada and Mexico. It is a sovereign nation, and it should be regarded and treated as such.
What is Title 42, and what is the impact if that really does cease to operate?
Yeah, well, we're already seeing the ramifications of the administration announcing that they're going to lift Title 42 next month. We have had the highest number of illegal crossings for quite in 20 years just this past month in the month of March. And so what Title 42 said, it was a means by which to protect ourselves during the quote unquote COVID pandemic, to say that you cannot come into this country if you are infected with the COVID virus. Now, if you lift that, basically what you're saying, doctor, is that there is no COVID emergency. There's no COVID issue, no COVID pandemic. But even here in the state of Texas, we are still living under a COVID emergency orders by the governor. And this has now been going on for 2 years. And so people are kind of getting tired of this. And as you just saw recently, a federal judge in Florida just ruled that the whole mandate about wearing masks on public transportation was unconstitutional. Because again, we got to get back to the rule of law. So if we lift that Title 42, you're going to see everyone streaming across this border because there's no other restrictions. And if we continue to say that there are no restrictions upon illegals coming across our border from COVID, then we should not have any restrictions on American citizens.
What is Biden's goal when it comes to this open borders policy?
Well, it's not so much his goal. It's the goal of the progressive left, which is, you know, they want to undermine our constitutional republic. They want to undermine our representative democracy. And when I hear people talk about, you know, protecting democracy and being enemies of democracy, I think that Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and all of those sorts should look in the mirror. Because when they're trying to pass legislation that says there won't be any voter registration roll review, that illegals will be able to vote, that there will no longer be any need to go to polling locations, they're just going to use unsolicited mail-in ballots. This is how you undermine our representative democracy. And so you already have seen in New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio on his way out granted illegals the ability to vote in their municipal elections. And the new mayor, Eric Adams, has not changed that. And that's the same case in some municipalities out in California. So I think this is really two points. Some people want to have the cheap labor, which undermines the wages of Americans. And then there are other people that want to undermine our democracy and see illegals voting. And we cannot allow that to happen. Your ability to vote in America is such a precious thing. And that should be reserved to citizens, not just occupants.
Wow. Okay, we have about 2 minutes left here.
Yeah.
How about some comments since you bring it up, voter integrity?
This is huge, without a doubt, and we don't want to see people lose faith in that thing, which was the gold standard across the world. You know, I deployed to several different countries to try to bring some semblance of democratic process and principles and values to them, and that means through the election system, electoral system. But what we see happening right now is just abhorrent. We've got to make sure that we have backup systems. We cannot allow people to manipulate the electoral system. We cannot have judges and governors and secretaries of state changing election law. The only people that could amend or change law are duly elected representatives. That's why the legislative branch is the most powerful branch out of the three. So we've got to get back to basics. We've got to make sure that everyone legal voter, that their vote counts.
Okay. How about a comment on crime and lack of punishment?
This is abhorrent, and we just saw several mass shootings over the weekend, Easter weekend, and we saw what just happened in New York. There has to be penalties, and there has to be crimes. Again, this ideological agenda of trying to have equity and fairness and social justice and all of these things, that does not work. Austin, Texas, which is the capital of Texas, it has the third highest increase of homicides in the country. And that's because the city council down there defunded the police. Houston, Texas, another dangerous city, because you have judges that are being judicial activists and releasing people on personal recognizance bond, violent felons, and they're going right back out and committing crimes. So we have to get back to the rule of law, which is a cornerstone of a constitutional republic.
Okay, we have 1 minute left. Are you an optimist or a pessimist when it comes to America?
I'm always an optimist. I'm an optimist because I believe that when things look the darkest, and that's why we're Christians. You know, it was very dark on Good Friday, and people believed that it was over. But what happened 2 days later, you know, he rose. And that's what we celebrate on Resurrection Day is, you know, Christ having victory over death and victory over sin, and he brought into this world the ability for us to have eternal life. So I think that in these dark moments, the light is coming, and that's why we don't focus on the valley. We look up unto the hills.
All right, Alan West, thanks so much for being with us. The website is AmericanConstitutionalRightsUnion.org. There's also a website of Patriot Academy that you're associated with.
Yes, I'm the national spokesperson, senior advisor for the Patriot Academy, because I think it's so important that we get more people educated on the Constitution, especially our young people. But theacru.org and the Patriot Academy, those are two organizations where you can follow me.
Okay, Alan West, thanks so much for your time. Appreciate it. All the best.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Bye-bye. God bless.